revolution is in the air. The workers are fed up, and together as a nation, we're walking off the job. Unite with us now as we throw down our tools and storm the barricades on this, the sweetest of all days, Bloody Sunday. With those two fearless leaders of the push, those comrades in arms, Chris Taylor and Craig Rucastle.
Yes, very good afternoon. Chris and Craig with you for the next 4 weeks filling in for Roy and HG on an afternoon when too many Canterbury Bulldogs jokes are barely enough.
Yes, exactly. Can't say any of them thanks to the ABC closing our mouths.
Broadcasting live from the prison holding cell in Canterbury Bankstown Police Station, Cell H.
Picking up the soap for you today.
It's been very, very hairy. We hope you can join us for the next 3 hours for Bloody Sunday. On Triple J, it is 2:05. You're with Chris and Craig filling in for Roy and HG, and that's The Rapture with Get Myself Into It. Now, look, if you didn't hear the news, Craig and I, of course, are in deep shame and embarrassment that one of our Chaser colleagues, Chaz Licciardello, got himself arrested outside the Canterbury Bulldogs St George Rugby League game
on
Friday night. Oh, look, he was selling some paraphernalia.
Rubber knives.
Dangerously rubber. Disturbingly plastic and rubber. That could have had someone's pinky out.
Well, I think that was the problem. That was what the problem was, is a lot of the Canterbury fans were complaining that it was only rubber. They wanted real knives. Like, you know, when you compare it to your general paraphernalia going into the Bulldogs games, it just wasn't good enough.
I know, and they thought his pricing was a little bit steep.
It was shoddy material. That's the problem.
Normally you can go into a local pub, just buy yourself a VB glass at yourself. What are you down? $3.20?
Yeah.
Chaz was charging top dollar. Now, that's an insult to a Canterbury Bulldogs fan.
It is. So, yes. We can't comment too much because it is before the courts, unlike anything else to do with Canterbury, interestingly enough. No other scandal has ever gone to the courts from Canterbury.
Were never brought before the courts over the Coffs Harbour rape incident, were they? Chaz was out of line.
Exactly.
I thought it was okay what he did outside the game. I thought he crossed the line, though, when he started selling merchandise outside Beirut to the Israelis. Just say, do you want a rocket? Do you want a missile? That was irresponsible.
It just goes too far then, exactly. I mean, when's the line? I just don't understand anymore. What can you do?
We might try and catch up with the man himself in his holding cell, Chaz Licciardello, up next on Bloody Sunday. On Triple J, the magic numbers, Love Me Like You. We also heard Taking Back Sunday with a Liar. You are with Chris and Craig this afternoon.
We are going to try and get in touch with Chaz Licciardello. At the moment, he can't answer. Of course, he only has one phone call out of the police cell. So it's good of him to actually speak to anyone at Triple J, because there could be a lawyer he could speak to for that. But we can't get in touch with him at the moment. We'll chat to him a bit later. But I'm saddened, to be honest, that the story about Chaz hassling a few Canterbury Bulldogs supporters, right, was the number one story read on the Age website, for instance, yesterday.
Oh, because they always rank the most viewed articles.
And like the number three. At a time when Princess Anne is in our country.
I know.
I mean, the front pages have been very bare, Chris, and yet a princess has been amongst us.
Imagine what England makes of that. That they send out one of their finest.
Number three, ranked three, apparently, in most popular royals.
Absolutely, and yet when you go to age.com.au, people don't want to read about Princess
Anne. It is extraordinary.
I'd rate this as one of the finest royal visits.
It's been good.
Of the last decade. She's made an amazing splash. Everywhere I go, people are talking about Princess Anne.
I know
people are on the Princess Anne bandwagon.
It is.
The people have erected live sites around the country. Just, you know, you can stay up till 4 a.m. watching Princess Anne, whatever she's doing.
And yet the media's turning their eye. That's what the people want to see. It's incredible because she's come out here. I don't exactly know why she is here or what she's doing here. So far, all I've seen, and this is the media's fault. I should know everything she's doing. If she farts, we should know about it. But all I found is she came out, she went on a yacht and went to a yacht club. And isn't that breaking out from the royal stereotype? She went to a yacht club, but apparently she wouldn't hang out. It was one of these royal yacht clubs, but she wouldn't hang out with the people from the yacht club because they were a bit down market for her.
Oh, really?
She had to be separated from them.
Even your highfalutin boat shoes and boat coat type people.
Your best of the Australian kind of, you know, establishment is not good enough for Princess Anne.
Well, the best of the Australian establishment's all in jail at the moment.
Exactly.
Your Rodney Adlers, your Brad Coopers. I mean, that's who she'd like to be hanging out with, but instead she's got people dropping anchors down at the Royal Yacht Club.
But I'd like to know, what is she... You know when you come into the country on the plane and you have to fill in that little form and you have to say what you're doing as you're visiting? What's the purpose of your visit?
Yeah.
What does she write? Like, is she? She said, "I'm here for work. I have to go to a yacht club and have a few sandwiches."
Lazy toff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
Is there just a box royal?
Mm.
You know what I'm doing? It's like I'm working, but it's like I'm on a holiday my whole life.
When you go through the customs, you've got to declare something. She should be forced to declare what the hell it is she does.
Yeah,
what is her business in this country? Why should our media and our loyal subjects give a damn?
Oh, well, apart from the obvious reasons, she's royal.
She's royal.
I mean, last year, Channel 10 spent a whole year searching for an Australian princess.
Mm.
And here on our very doorstep is our own Australian princess, and no one gives a shit.
Where's the Channel 10 special? I'd be wheeling Jackie O out in that little Ponce poor barrel. Just to, you know, could have got 4 weeks out
exactly.
of that. That's a genuine princess.
That's probably why she's laying low.
Mm.
She fears that if Jackie O finds she's here, she's going to have to talk to her.
You are with Chris and Craig this Sunday afternoon on Triple J, and that's Halogen with Baby's Eyes. We're just dissecting the Princess Anne royal visit. What I regret... I guess, is just how restricted her itinerary is, just the yacht club, as you mentioned. And it seems out of keeping with your average British traveller who comes here. I just think it's a great shame that she doesn't take the more traditional backpacker route, say, up between Adelaide and Darwin on some of those lone, empty highways, Joanne Lee's style.
Yeah.
I think if she really wants to show her interest for the country and have a really authentic experience, that's the kind of holiday she should be having.
She should be. I mean, if Princess Anne leaves this country without doing a good month fruit picking...
Mm.
Then she's missing out on the true Australian experience.
I haven't seen her get fleas in a Bondi backpackers hostel. I haven't. I haven't seen her pour a beer at any hostel.
No.
And I know some of our law judiciary authorities would be prepared to release the likes of Bradley John Murdoch just while she is out here to give her that true
traditional experience.
She did want to go out back.
Yeah, exactly.
And know what it's like to be a true British traveller.
To be a true British traveller. We could, I mean, are they running experience tours? Because, of course, she would get to play the Joanne Lee's role.
Mm.
We can just tie her up in the desert and see if she can get out before the dog gets to her. That kind of, you know, I'm sure they're running those kind of tours in Darwin, somewhere near, or on the road there, near Tennant's Creek.
And I know, again, Channel 10 would love to get in on that. So you'd have Jackie O and Paul Burrell in the red centre.
Can Princess Anne get free before the dogs get her?
Mm.
Oh, this is good.
If you want to be a true princess, you know how to get out of a dingo's clutches. Very well. Good. Well done, Anne. Well done.
Well done, Princess Anne. The amazing thing, we had a bit of a little emergency. We thought we actually had Princess Anne in the building the other day because there was a car parked down the front of the ABC which has a little instead of a number plate, it has a royal seal on it. And we thought, Princess Anne's in the building. This is fantastic.
It's kind of a crown, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a crown. It's a crown. It's like this massive gold-coloured embossed crown on the front where the number plates are.
On a Sigma.
On a big, you know, big limo type car. So we thought Princess Anne is in the building. But it turned out, no, it was a big, it was just the Governor General. But it did get me thinking, because there's a few people in the country that have those cars, right? The Governor General does, and all the kind of generals from the generals of each state, they each have those cars.
The governors of each state.
The governors of each state, of course, have those cars with the exact same number plate. Now, it doesn't have Crown One or anything like that. It's just a crown.
Mm.
Couldn't you get away with a lot? Like, if you're the Governor of New South Wales, Mari Bashir, can't you just go hell for leather, drive like a maniac and go, look, it wasn't me, that's the Governor-General's car?
I wouldn't.
Can't tell the difference.
You couldn't spot it. You couldn't. If all you had identifying you was the number plate, you could get away with murder.
You can get away with anything.
You could run a lot of red lights. Yeah. You could do a drive-by shooting.
I know the Governor likes to do that.
Well, and do we know they haven't? Do we know, has any Governor just decided to go on a rampage knowing that, oh, they'll probably ping the South Australian Governor for this because they won't be able to pick me in a lineup?
Exactly. And this is the kind of thing. I mean, in the old days, when, of course, what was the last Governor-General? How quickly we forget. How quickly I forget.
Hollingsworth?
Hollingsworth. When Hollingsworth
had it's appropriate you forget him because he forgot everything in his life,
exactly.
Too, didn't he?
When Hollingsworth was there, you could do anything in the car. They just presumed it was him.
Mm.
I mean, if you went curb crawling, doesn't matter. That's just Hollingsworth. It didn't matter.
Mm.
But so if anyone does, if you've got one of those kind of big white, I think they're Holden Statesman or something, if you've got one of those and you're going out, maybe, you know, going to have a hitting a bit of booze on the night or something like that, just take off the number plate and put on the crown.
Mm.
And that way you can get away with anything.
On Triple J, it is just after 2:30 this Sunday afternoon. Hope you're having a great weekend. Chris and Craig filling in for Roy and HG for the next 4 weeks while they lick their wounds from the State of Origin series. We just heard Soul Position with Hand Me Downs and The Silence in there at the end with Nightcrawler. We're talking about royal cars. The governors get around. They all had the same number plate.
Yeah, it's like a royal seal or a crown on the front of them.
And they all have the same card. So you think, because I know a lot of them are sort of, you know, hotheads. A lot of them are rev heads. They'd love to, they feel a bit constrained by being in these large white statesman vehicles. I know a lot of them would love just to burn around in a combi or a Monaro or something like that.
It would be a great thing to see the Governor General turn up with the crown seal on the front of just a Tirana or something.
Doing donuts.
Or a little hotted up Civic like or something like that, yeah.
Pulling into an official citizenship ceremony or maybe quite a mournful occasion. Mm. Let's say he's commemorating the anniversary of Port Arthur or something. Turning up in a real hotted up, like almost, what would you call it, like a Datsun or something.
Yeah, exactly. I like the...
And with a novelty horn.
Exactly.
Look out, bloody hell, Michael Jeffrey's in the house.
That'd be much better.
And no people would know who he is.
Because no one knows Michael Jeffrey's at the moment. He needs a distinctive horn, even if it's a slightly royal sounding horn, like, you know, hail to the... Not hail to the chief, but that kind of thing.
And a bumper
God
sticker.
God Save the Queen horn as he turns up.
Honk if you're into sovereignty.
Yeah, exactly.
That kind of thing.
I'm not a Republican.
Honk if you love a GG.
But because presumably if you do have this kind of number plate, you get away with a lot more. I can imagine police wouldn't pull you up. It would be, I'm not necessarily suggesting people try this, but it would be interesting to put a royal crown on your shitty Sigma or your Datsun and see if you get away with more stuff. See if people think, oh, just the GG out in his car today.
So you pull into the drive-thru, say, at Hungry Jack's or something, and just say, hey, check out the number plate.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that value meal will be on you today.
I think it's a freebie thing, right? Although, did you see, there was actually you know that whole thing of getting out of your fines based on your royal plate? Which is, I still think the best way to get out of a fine is to use your royal plate.
Well, I know Lady Di didn't have to pay a fine for that incident she created in the Paris
Tunnel.
Exactly. She was just waved. They said, no, that's fine. You can totally trash that vehicle. You're a royal.
You can speed through the tunnel. Mm. She had probably had these crown plates there.
Mm.
But the other way, there was an article in the paper today talking about the fact that people are trading their demerit points. You know, so if you get fined, right, you get a speeding fine. You're going to lose 3 points off your license. You can say, oh, no, I wasn't driving this car. And as long as somebody else owns up to it, they take your points, which you can't. You can do it in your family sometimes. Like people do it and go, Mom, you never lose any points. Can you just take these because I've got none left?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, fine. But people are actually trading it, like using online, saying, I'll give you $100 and I'll take your points.
What on eBay or something?
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily on eBay, but eBay would be the perfect place to do it, saying, I'll take, you know, 3 point demerit points. How much will you pay for me to do that? It's not a bad idea. It's against the law. Mm. Apart from that, it's not a bad idea, though.
No, but it's a great idea. What's the going rate for a demerit point?
I don't know. What was it? I saw it said it was about $100 for 3 demerit points. That doesn't seem much. I reckon people pay much more for that.
That'd be worth it, wouldn't it if it meant keeping you on the road?
And I can't believe it's illegal, because if you think about it, you know, that whole scheme under the Kyoto Protocol was going to lead to carbon credits, where basically you traded in order to pollute.
Mm.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing, just, you know, I'm doing something bad, therefore I'm going to trade it and pay for the ability to do that bad thing.
I can see a lot of application for this. Like,
it should be on the stock exchange.
Mm.
You should be trading each day, your morning, you know, FT100, FTSE 100, your Hang Seng, and your daily demerit points today. They're up to $120.
Mm. What a different World Cup it would have been if you could trade your yellow card.
Oh, that would have been good.
Because you had a situation where Emerton wasn't allowed to play in certain games because he'd reached his limit. Whereas if he could sell that yellow card on and willing to pay for the privilege of selling his yellow card away.
See, that would have made Kallock, the goalkeeper, useful in the team.
Mm.
If Kallock could have gone, I'll take that one. I'll take the red.
Finally, a use for Kallock.
Kallock, yeah.
That is something for Kate off the Desert Lights record and California. Chris and Craig with you this afternoon.
This idea of trading your own blame, like selling the blame, somebody else taking the blame for you, is taking the fall for you. It's not new, actually, I guess. It's been used for many years by crime gangs. Now, I once remember reading a fascinating thing about a drug dealer and just the fact that this guy was basically had someone who went everywhere with him as the patsy. you know, like if you got, if you know, anyone was around, this person took all the drugs and took the fall. But and that was the job. Was that,
Was that an advertised position?
Well, that's what I wonder.
Like CES or was there just in the training post? Like, Patsy wanted.
Do you have to do some time at TAFE to really learn how to take the fall?
Mm.
No, but it's quite a fascinating thing.
What were his qualifications? I mean, how many years of Patsy
desire to spend time in jail?
But does he have to go into a simulated jail cell to learn how to do those hours?
I think the hard time, the hard part's doing the fall. I think the jail time you really learn as you do it. Mm. You learn on the job.
On the job.
On the job training for that particular
Isn't that beautiful?
But why did they do that for
jail for the Dolskit?
Exactly. Right. Why don't you do that for other professions? Like, for instance, why didn't the James Hardie CEO have a patsy?
I know.
You know, like he goes there and goes, things are going wrong here. Mm. Or, you know, you're Rodney Adler's or something.
Mm.
If the patsy at the last minute stepped in and go, no, sorry, this 21-year-old dude claims he was the real Rodney Adler the whole time.
Well, Rodney Adler in many ways was the patsy for so many people.
Yeah.
Like you're Ray Williams, you're Brad Coopers.
He's just a patsy.
You're Jamie Packers, you're Jody Adlers. They all say, oh, no, it's Rodney's fault. Yeah. Blame the patsy.
He took the fall. Years ago, if you actually look, you're just applying patsy for HIH thing. But you can go smaller. Like you can just have a patsy in the office.
Mm.
If you do a fart, was that you? No. You just got somebody that comes in and takes the blame.
Mm.
That'll be $5, mate.
On Triple J, first up in there, we heard Tapes and Tapes out of America with Cowbell and Faithless with I Want More. 10 to 3 with Chris and Craig on Bloody Sunday this afternoon. We're with you until 5 o'clock when Ben Harper will be on your radio doing a fabulous Live at the Wireless set. So stick around for that. We're filling in for 4 weeks while Roy and HG take a little bit of a holiday after the Origin series. And I just want to delve into the week in politics, if I can, for a second, Craig. It's been very, very heady. A lot of people have been focusing on the stoush between Howard and Costello. There's a much bigger story.
Oh, it was just a red herring that the leadership won.
That had small implications, but bloody hell, the real story out of Canberra for me this week was the Democrats. Remember them?
That rings a bell.
The Democrats, the Australian Democrats. They used to keep the bastards honest. Now they're just happy to exist at all. Apparently, one of their members, Sandra Kank. I might have that wrong. Sandra Kank, one of the Democrats.
Not even she would know.
No.
Like, she's so low profile, she doesn't even know her own name.
Mm. She came out making some comments about MDMA, the drug ecstasy, which have been perceived by many to be pro-ecstasy.
What does she say?
Well,
let's read into it.
She drops 5 a week. Now, whether that's...
And does that make her happy enough to be a Democrat?
Well, this is the issue. I mean, she's coming for a lot of criticism for her pro-ecstasy stance. I think we need to be a little bit more sympathetic about this. I mean, it's not easy being a Democrat.
It's tough times.
It's terribly depressing. I mean, it's amazing if they get out of bed each morning, but if all it takes is a couple of pills, then let her have them.
Can you imagine the downer if she comes off those pills?
I know.
Being a Democrat and being on an ecstasy downer, that would be suicidal.
Let's have some compassion here.
What did she say, though? Did she say that people should be able to take it?
She made some comments about where you should be able to take them and whether some places would be deemed safer than others.
Oh.
That kind of thing. Democrat meetings are safe places. To take them. In fact, essential places to take them.
You may get stabbed in the back, but ecstasy's a lot safer there.
Mm. On Triple J, new for Eskimo Joe, that is London Bombs. Now, Fred's given us a call. How are you doing?
Good, mate, good.
Now, we were talking about patsies a little bit earlier on. We
take the fall for somebody else.
Suggesting there should be more of them. Now, you reckon you're a patsy, yeah?
I did a bit of patsy work in the late 70s.
What for?
We used to provide a service in the hotel industry. We used to take a few bets, and well, that was providing a service pre the tab days.
Mm.
And when one of our gentlemen that worked for us got busted, I used to go to court for them, get $100 to go to court. But one day I was rudely disturbed when the magistrate gave me 6 months in jail.
Really? Did you get your rate increased?
Yes. I knew I had the right of appeal, so I was pretty right. But it was a good little lurk for a while, but that was the patsy work I did. That was quite good.
How did you arrive at the figure of $100 for a bit of patsy work? Like, were you in a position to negotiate?
That was a standard price.
Oh, Senate. under the Patsy Award.
Yeah.
Under the
Patsy Union.
The PU, yeah, the Patsy Union.
That was it.
Nowadays it's all different.
The Patsies have no rights anymore. The Howard government's absolutely destroyed all liberties the Patsies once held.
Got a lot of foreign Patsies coming in, undercutting the market.
Mm.
The Ryan government destroyed all that.
Mm. Mm. So how did you get into that? Like, how did it get decided? Were you just pretty much the bottom of the pecking order there?
No. Well, I didn't do anything on Monday. So Monday was court day, so I just used to go along on Mondays.
Did they give you a suit or something, or did you have to sort of bring your own equipment and tools and costumes?
No, it was a bit hard when you were going for somebody that was about 20 or 30 years older than you. Sometimes you got a little bit scared when you stood up there for somebody that was, was a fresh-faced 20-year-old and somebody was 40 or 50 years of age. That was always a little bit scary.
So it wasn't necessarily your name on the charge sheet. You were just going and standing in for somebody else there so they could keep working.
Yes, I was standing in for that person.
Got a classic. And so you never did any jail time.
I nearly did.
Was it ever discussed, if you do any jail time, by the way, we will increase the $100?
Well, that would have been negotiable.
Yeah. I would have been negotiating that early in the piece, I reckon. Well, I reckon always get that down on paper before you go into the Patsy business.
Would it have been $100 a day for each day served in jail, or would you negotiate? How would you have worked it, Fred?
Well, as long as they would have fed the wife and children, I suppose.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah, so I think that would have been the thing. But no, that was never discussed. But you always knew you had the right of appeal, so that was
Was there any suspicion that the magistrate hearing these cases was a Patsy themselves, like just covering for some other slack-ass member of the judiciary? So maybe everyone in our society really are Patsies. No one's actually the genuine article.
That's exactly right. Well,
no one takes responsibility.
You were always a little bit... Well, you had to be a little bit worried about that. I think somebody used to come and see them, the magistrate, and his palm may have been... crossed. I don't know what that situation was. Mm.
Fred, don't defame anyone, mate. We're not going to take the fall for you.
No, we're not going that way. We don't go that far, no.
We're not your Patsy, mate.
That's right.
We're Roy and HG's Patsy this afternoon.
Exactly.
Filling in for them. Thanks very much, Fred. Patsy, Fred there, doing some time for $100 a day in the dock. It is coming up to 3 o'clock. You are with Chris and Craig on Triple J. On Triple J, that is The Lost Gospel with Secret Agent. We also heard Aqua Sky and Backdraft with What Can You Do? And The Steals in there with Destroyer. You are listening to Chris and Craig this Sunday afternoon, sitting in for Roy and HG for the next 4 weeks. And I went to a very, very swish party last night. Mm. Very upmarket.
Oh, that's typical U-turn.
You know how I could tell it was a swish dude? It wasn't because of
you
all,
were there?
Wasn't all the European French champagne they had. It wasn't the crate loads of caviar. They had bananas.
Ooh.
They were serving...
Showing off their wealth.
Oh, it was ostentatious.
And what
it was such it was excessive bananas.
Instead of snorting cocaine, were they all snorting petrol? Just to show their wealth.
Well, you went to the toilets. People were just peeling bananas in the cubicle, just doing lines of the yellow. But it's becoming a serious issue. I mean, ever since the cyclone, of course, devastated banana crops around the country, we all know that bananas are a lot more expensive these days than they used to be. The alarming news just out today, Craig...
Yeah.
Is they could rise even further. Now, the current going rate is $14 a kilo. You need a bank loan just to go to the fruit shop these days. I mean, there's young families trying to start out. Where's the $10,000 Howard grant for bananas?
You know what mystifies me about this? Is that the banana bread is still for sale for the same price.
Mm.
Does that mean banana bread doesn't have bananas in it?
Well, they might be skimping.
Well, I don't understand.
Like using banana substitute.
I don't understand. Like, they taste like it's real bananas, but is it something else?
It's that powdered banana.
Is it choco?
That you get in. Yeah, choco. Like banana quick, just sort of sprinkled into the recipe of banana bread. I find those bananas you get in the milk bar, the lollies one.
Yeah.
Gee, they've gone up too, haven't they?
Different, very different now.
Entry into the big banana in Queensland, it's now about $40 just to walk through that pissy little stainless...
whatever the hell it is.
What it is. But look... I just want to know, just almost as a bit of an experiment this afternoon, the most expensive banana. How much are people willing to pay for a single banana? If anyone wants to play ball with this, I want someone to put one banana on eBay.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
Nice.
Just smack it up there, and then let's have a bit of a bidding war.
Let's see how much you can sell one banana for.
And let's make this global. I know a lot of international listeners enjoy this. People who ordinarily pay very reasonable prices for their bananas because they didn't suffer cyclones, but they still, knowing that it's a rare Aussie banana, ideally from Queensland.
A Queenslander? Whoa!
Let's see how high we can get the price. It's currently going for $14 a kilo. I reckon...
Just one banana.
Yeah, so first up...
Only about $3 or $4 if you've got them from the supermarket, I think. Is that for one? Oh, no, it's definitely well over $1.
Mm.
I've stopped buying them. I can't afford it.
Well, with interest, I mean, I do lay-by on a banana. Like, you get...
You got one for Christmas.
Yeah. You can do monthly installments, or you can just buy half a banana now, and then come Christmas, they'll give you the other half.
Share it with someone else.
But we need a volunteer this afternoon on Triple J. If anyone wants to be our banana patsy, to continue a theme, we want someone to put a banana, register it on eBay, and throughout the afternoon we'll chart just how much it scores.
Yes.
On Triple J, that's new for Built to Spill, off a really good record they've just released. That one is called, its name eludes me, it doesn't have it on the, it will come to me, it's the new single. Now, we're looking for our banana patsy. Damien's volunteered. A very good afternoon to you, Damien. How are you doing?
Good, mate.
Now, we're trying to see just how much a banana can go for on eBay. Mm. Now, do you own a banana?
Yeah, we could, we're just about to go purchase some bananas.
All right, well, you get yourself a banana, put it on eBay, put it up for a week, and next week we'll talk to you and see how much it's gone for.
Mm.
Choose a nice one. Get a good picky on it.
I'd choose probably one that hasn't totally ripened at this stage.
No, go a bit of a green one at this stage, so people think, oh, I'll get the best days out of it.
Mm.
Okay, no worries.
And not those small, you know those small ones that are a bit, little bit sweeter? I'm not so big on those, but a nice big one.
Just a nice shape.
Not the one with red wax on the end. Don't go those.
And those stickers. You don't hate people who put stickers all over their fruit?
Jeez, you're fussy, Taylor.
It's a
banana drought, and Taylor's going, oh, I wouldn't eat one with a sticker on it.
No, but I mean, if we're trying to save on costs, why are they spending that little bit of extra exercise and dollars on putting stickers all over them? It takes about half an hour to eat a mandarin these days. First, you've got to peel the stickers off, then you've got to peel the bloody mandarin. So anyway.
Put it up there, Damien, and we'll see how you go. Have you got an eBay account?
Yeah, we have. It'll be under Baby Cuddles Online Store.
Baby Cuddles Online Store, there you go.
Okay, we might even check in with you later in the afternoon to see. What are you going to start it at? What do you think the reserve will be?
Well, I think we should start at $1 and let the public...
go from there. That's a bargain.
Mm.
That'll get people interested. $1's a bargain to start.
Do you know where you're sourcing it from?
It'll be bought from... well-known Werribee fruit shop.
Okay. Oh, good.
Oh, Werribee. Yeah. Gee, they've got beautiful produce in Werribee. No, they do.
That's the place to go, yeah.
That's
exactly.
Really fresh. Okay, thanks very much. We'll check in with you,
Damien,
a little bit later in the afternoon and next week. Thanks heaps.
I reckon the other thing to do is, you know, because now that Israel has gone to war with
Lebanon,
of course, apparently prices are going to go up even more to like $1.60 a litre.
For petrol, bananas.
For petrol.
I wouldn't have thought the Lebanon war has any impact on banana prices.
I don't think Lebanon had a lot of bananas, from what I've seen there. But if you buy up, get a lot of petrol today, and sell on eBay as the prices go up. Or sell at the lights. Wouldn't it be good to see, you know, when you go to Asian country, everything's sold at the lights.
Mm.
I think it'd be good to see that. If you go now, buy a lot at, you know, your $1.40 mark and wait until it goes up to $1.60, sell it at lights. You know, people going, yeah, do you want some petrol, mate? I'll give it for $1.50.
That's very good advice.
Where are the young entrepreneurs in this nation?
Because you could squeeze out these, you know, the squeegee people who have been monopolising our traffic lights for far too long. And don't you hate those charity bucket collectors?
That's all, yeah.
You know, post, you know, a bushfire or a tsunami or something, there they are earnestly and righteously dangling the bucket.
Whereas if we just had
some real sort of entrepreneurs, you know, almost Christopher Skase style, with a portable mobile Bowser.
Yeah.
And how easy
just
would it be?
Just those 1 litre jerry cans just, even, just for a litre.
Pop your cap, how much do you want? And sell it sort of black market, undercutting the big mobile oil companies.
I think that's a good idea. I think that's the way to make. If you want to make money, that's our tip.
On Triple J, you are with Chris and Craig, filling in for Roy and HG for the next 4 weeks. The Mountain Goats there with Palm Quarter at Yan Yan.
Big fan. I saw the Mountain Goats when they're out here, and that was one of those songs. You know how that certain bands, there's a real song that everyone knows and that kind of made them big or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone in the crowd was kind of going, Palm Quarter Yan Yan, Palm Quarter Yan Yan, and they didn't play it. I always find that interesting. You know, certain bands, it seems like they go, no, I don't want to play the old stuff. I don't want to play the thing that is popular.
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic gig. It was really good, but it kind of, you know, people get a bit pissed off because particularly they ended on quite a low song and everyone kind of thought, oh, this is the lead up. And then the lights went out and you went, Oh.
Yeah, no, that is odd. You get that a bit when a band sort of becomes bigger than their one single and they think, oh, no, we've moved on.
It's not even like Pum Got a Yarn is like totally different or any way. You know, it's not like an arsehole or that kind of thing.
No.
It's a very, but so, yeah.
I had a similar feeling to the last federal election where normally, you know, the big Howard government hit is immigration.
Like that is true.
You expect them to play that card.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was all about interest rate. They did a very boring set. That was a really boring gig last time. I wanted Howard to come out with the race and stuff,
yeah.
Maybe do a tamper or two. But they're disappointed. That's what made them popular.
Exactly.
That is what made them popular. They refused to do the hit.
Just even old stuff. Just give us a lie about GST or something.
No.
Nothing.
None of the classic stuff. There was no refugee bashing. It was such a... It was their worst tour ever.
It was boring. That's why a lot of people were talking about Costello. Going, if you're not going to play the hits, get out.
Yeah.
Let somebody else come in with
it.
Exactly.
We're talking bananas this afternoon on Bloody Sunday, among other things. Scott's given us a call. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks, mate.
Now, we've already put the one banana on eBay, and we're going to measure its price throughout the coming week to see how high it can get. You're already one step ahead of us. You reckon bananas are developing their own currency in Grafton, yeah?
Not in Grafton. We'll loosely say the mid-north coast of New South Wales.
Okay.
Just, you know, to keep it a little bit more anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few connections in the underworld of that area, and apparently boxes of bananas are being traded for sort of a few buds here and there now.
Bit of marijuana. Oh, that's good to see.
They're sort of getting, you know, I'm not sure exactly how much. I think the statistic I had was maybe five buds for a box,
that's better than it used to be, isn't it? I mean, that's just it's the cyclone. Things have changed, isn't it? Because there was that story recently about the fact that people were stealing, like, you know, the mafia or whoever it was involved in stealing boxes and crates of bananas because they're worth so much. It's actually, you know, they're actually worth going out and doing that.
Well, I found just, you know, bidding at auctions on weekend for property. Houses, auctioneers are very open if you just wave a few bunches of bananas in front of them as a down payment.
I'll go 2 kilos of bananas. Mm. Well, I just can't beat that.
I can't raise it. It's sold to the man with two bunches of bananas.
And you wouldn't believe it because I got those bananas with just only 9 buds of dope.
Mm.
That's great to see. I mean,
is it just dope at this stage, or is it smack or anything? I mean, how many ounces of smack might you get for a banana or two?
Well, I'm not sure, but it's bound to go up. The price of paint, you know, is going through the roof too, and the crystal meth guy.
Yeah, well, there needs to be something so kids don't get ripped off.
Mm.
So kids don't go home to mum and dad going, where the hell did the bananas go? Then you go, I traded that for 1 bud. You're going, I cannot believe you only got 1 bud for that.
Yeah.
You don't want that kind of thing to happen. You know, there needs to be the federal government should be running an exchange rate site the banana price here so that kids stealing bananas and trading it for dope don't get ripped off.
It's not fair. The ACCC should step in. I think Graham Samuel should immediately give a press conference just saying what an appropriate going rate would be.
Is. God.
Because there's profiteering in these times.
You know the worst thing is when you trade your bananas for dope and then you get the munchies and you really want bananas. You're just screwed.
Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Scott.
Have a great weekend.
Bye.
It is 25 past three with Chris and Craig. On Triple J, that's Cat Power with the title track from the record she released a couple of months ago called The Greatest. Also in there, the album we're featuring here this week at Triple J, Youth Group and Sorry. It is just after 3:30. A reminder that come 5 o'clock, you can enjoy a very special Live at the Wireless session with Ben Harper, which Richard Kingsmill will be bringing you. But Craig, I mentioned just at the top of this hour, I was at a very swish event last night. I forgot to mention what the event was. Of course, the wedding of the year.
Wedding of the year?
South Australian Premier Mike Rann.
Oh, yes.
Finally saying, I do. And what? Well, look, it's a wedding that put Keith and Nicole's absolutely in the shade.
Mm.
Talk about celebrities.
I know.
You've got Mike Rann.
And what was his wife's name again,
can't
Chris?
Can't quite. But it's very discreet. They didn't want media attention.
They didn't
release her name.
That was very clever.
He doesn't know her name either. It was very discreet.
Very discreet.
But bloody, talk about names. There were backbenchers there. There were just some local Adelaide identities. Someone that once worked with Bruce McAvaney was at the wedding. I mean, it was just glitz and glamour.
Why do you think it is that the Australian media decided to go so small on this one? It's strange. I mean, Keith and Nicole living overseas and that, whereas, you know, Mike Rann's just gone to the South Australian people, have returned him with a huge majority. His popularity has been proved at the polls, and yet There weren't many choppers, as far as I understand.
No, I don't think Today Tonight devoted 2 weeks to speculation about what sort of dress the nameless bride might be wearing. but by all accounts, it was a wonderful event. And what a week.
Botanical Gardens in Adelaide, I believe.
Yeah, a little bit of rain. A little bit of rain. But it didn't dampen the spirit.
Yeah, the journalistic experience coming through.
Look, what a week for Mike Rann, because people forget this. He was coming off a COAG meeting.
Oh God, yeah, it's just a week of highs.
What an emotional peak.
Got to meet the Prime Minister.
He's been to a COAG meeting, which is when all the state premiers get bunker down with the Prime Minister and discuss things like GST. So that we just would have been on a high after that. Then the right to meet the girl of his dreams, and.
This may just be hints. I've heard, Chris, he didn't just meet her that day. I heard they may have met before.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe it wasn't a shotgun wedding.
Mike Rann, not a shotgun. Well,
no,
really?
I know.
Where did they meet? Where did they meet? At Hungry George's there on Hindley Street?
You love Hungry George's.
Hungry George's doing the catering. I'd like to think Hungry George, if not Hungry George, doing the catering and the canopies for Mike Rann's wedding, then at least the Greedy Goose.
Oh, yes.
People forget the Greedy Goose. They took out My Restaurant Rules Series 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Where is that gone? My Restaurant Rules has disappeared, hasn't it?
Dicko's a bit full.
Oh, yeah, he can't get into it.
You can't do another TV show on a full stomach.
I understand why the Block has gone, because the housing market has meant that the Block is no longer popular, right?
Mm.
But do people still eat in restaurants? Like, where did My Restaurant Rules go?
Well, I don't know, but maybe Dicko's been preparing a special, like the My Greedy Goose, Mike Rann catering special.
I think there's
3 hours in that. It would be. Who would they wheel out? The Greedy Goose, how would they kick off with a salmon roe on a...
I don't know. I never watched that show, Chris. But if anyone was at the Mike Rann wedding, 1-300-055-36.
If you can give us any sort of gossip. Who was wearing what?
Oh, I'd love to know.
Who went home with who?
Did Mike Rann go home with the unnamed bride?
Was there much discussion of COAG? Did COAG rate a mention in the vows? did they write their own vows just to take in COAG?
Was he too tight? Because this is what I hear. The big Bucks night, the COAG Bucks night, Mike Rann.
It went nuts.
Out of the top. Paul Lennon from Tasmania, God, he sinks them.
Well, Lennon wanted to have the bash at a casino.
Exactly.
He loves his gambling.
I've always got a freebie down at Crown.
So they got very carried away, and I thought when Howard, at the end of the COAG meeting, into the Bucks night, tied Mike Rann naked to a telegraph pole.
That went too far.
Because it was fine when he did that to Peter Costello, just to put him back.
That was quite funny.
That was political. That was appropriate, given the week's events. But to do it to Mike Rann, I think he went a little bit too far.
I hear he dropped an E.
Infa on Triple J with Cause and Effect. You are with Chris and Craig this Sunday. Hey,
Chris, just a bit of an Australian film news update.
Is there still an Australian film industry?
There is. Well, this is the whole problem, isn't it? I mean, I know everyone was kind of ripped apart when Eucalyptus wasn't made. The movie was going to star Russell Crowe and, of course, Nicole Kidman.
Mm.
And, of course, there's
and
problem.
Mike Rann. I think Mike...
Mike Rann was going to... Yeah, brief cameo, but his rates are so high nowadays you can't really get him in. But I know that... The whole industry has been basing its whole resuscitation on this one big film at the moment, Yobbo's Up the Guts. As a film buff, I cannot believe you're not across Yobbo's Up the Guts.
Is that Gillian Armstrong or Ray Lawrence? Who's behind Yobbo's Up the Guts?
Yobbo's Up the Guts is the fantastic film of Warwick Capper, Mark Jacko Jackson, and... Bill Hunter is in it too.
Well, that goes without saying.
But it's an amazing tale of the journey of these three people up the centre of Australia. And isn't that original?
Mm.
Like, these are people who've gone out into the centre of Australia on some kind of journey. And that's going to really break with all previous Australian films, isn't it?
Are they dressed as drag queens?
Are they on a bus? Mm. Are they lost? I don't know. But look, it's some sad news from the Yobbo's up the Guts front. Because Warwick Capper has been invited. I'm just hoping this isn't the new thing like the Eucalyptus script.
Oh, he hasn't done a Russell.
It's really worrying. There's been a fight.
He's got script objections.
There's been a fight. No, well, there's been a fight between Warwick Capper and the Russian director.
Oh, God.
They did manage to get the Russian director, Kieran Noshka, whose work I'm sure you're very familiar with, Chris. What was his last work?
Look, I've only seen his private movies, which are revealing, to say the least.
He did One Night in Paris, I believe. But, no, apparently they had a fight. The fight is quite extraordinary. The Russian director wanted Warwick Capper to walk up to Woomera, the detention centre, But Warwick said no, because he didn't want to make it seem trivial. The plight of the people in Woomera.
Oh, right.
As he said, I took a politically correct stand and said we shouldn't make fun of a detention centre that looked like a dog pound where people were treated like animals.
Has anyone told Warwick that the detention centre at Woomera no longer exists? It wouldn't actually
there's
be...
There's no one there.
No, that's been shut down.
No, Amanda Vanstone just keeps her pigs there now.
Yeah,
cages are so small, she just keeps the pigs there.
Was that Warwick's objection? Because he relates more to pigs than he'd ever relate to refugees, I imagine. Maybe that's his political position
on
that.
Well, look, I reckon this is the answer to your question of why the government didn't run hard on refugee rights at the last election. If they knew Warwick Capper was a defender of refugee rights, you didn't want to have yobos up the guts against you, did you? You can't win an election with the stars of yobos up the guts running against you.
A landslide, wouldn't it?
I only hope this means the movie can still be made.
Yeah, well, what is the current status? Because I'd hate for it not to fall over, because, as you say, we're still reeling. And
I think in the end you've got to say this movie can still be made without the Russian director, but it can't be made without Warwick Capper.
Butterfingers on Triple J with Like 'Em When They're Trouble. You are listening to Chris and Craig filling in for Roy and HG for the next 4 weeks and following up the very dire news that the movie Yobbo Up the Guts...
Yobbos.
Sorry.
You got to remember it's the three of them.
Yobbos Up the Guts may fall over. Now, this will be a real kick in the guts, literally, for the Australian film industry. I know a lot of people were pinning their hopes on Neil Armfield's Candy or Ray Lawrence's Jindabyne this year to resurrect the industry, but it was clearly Yobbo's Up the Guts that was going to bring it home.
Mm. Warwick Capper, Mark Jacker Jackson and Bill Hunter. I've heard rumours, and I'm not sure if this is true, Chris. I think the reality might be that this Yobbo's Up the Guts is just the renaming of Eucalyptus.
Oh.
When Russell said no to Eucalyptus...
This is the film he wanted to make.
This is the film... Well, no. When Russell said no to Eucalyptus and he said, I want to mess with the script...
Mm.
Warwick Capper and Mark Jacker Jackson stepped in and said, we're happy with the script the way it is. And I think Jocelyn Moorhouse should step back in as the director of this and just take it home. I think Warwick Capper is playing the role that Nicole Kidman was going to play in Eucalyptus.
Typecasting.
Mark Jacker Jackson, of course, is playing Russell Crowe's role.
Mm. What a pity, though. I can't believe that Russell wouldn't want to be in a Yobbo movie.
I know. Maybe that's what he said. I said, I'm willing to work on it only if it's called Yobbo's Up the Guts. And somebody said, oh, no, sorry, Warwick Capper's got the rights to that movie. You can't do that.
I mean, Russell, now that he knows that Yobbo Up the Guts is back in production, at least he'll be knocking on the door asking if The Ordinary Fear of God, his band, can provide the soundtrack.
Oh,
when he sees it on the big screen, he will have regret that he walked away from this project.
If only we can get a Nick Neonopoulos to possibly chuck some gags in.
Can we get
two Yobbo's Up the Guts? This could be the big number that brings this... Because at the moment, you know, they're only talking about this going to DVD.
Oh, come off it.
They're not talking about film release.
Come off it. I'm looking at Cannes.
Film
looking at Venice Film Fest. I would open the San Sebastian Film Festival with Yobbo's Up the Guts.
I know. Pixar and all these rubbish animations, nothing will be more animated than this.
Mm. Look, I mean, I don't question for a second Warwick Capper's ability to play the role. I think he's...
Of Warwick Capper.
Of Warwick Capper. But is he concerned? Will it be a stretch for him to play a Yobbo? has he been going to the Juilliard School? Has he been doing some sessions in NIDA to understand what it's like to be a Yobbo, because this is new territory for Warwick.
Is it? Well, to tell you what, the one thing I saw from this is that apparently he's in the fight with the director, his nose was broken, and he was saying that his plastic surgeon's going to be annoyed because he's just finished making the nose.
God.
Now, Yobbos don't get plastic surgeons.
No.
That's hoity-toity for Yobbos. Yeah. I think he's lost his Yobbo roots.
Mm.
He's gone beyond that.
Well, Mark Jacker Jackson, I mean, is obviously a classic Yobbo, so maybe he can help Warwick refine his inner Yobbo and bring this journey to our screens. Now, what would you say that it's a story set in the Australian outback?
Set in the Australian outback, it's about travelling up through the centre of Australia.
So it's sort of Wolf Creek meets Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Desert, yes. We can only hope it ends in the same way Wolf Creek.
Bloody Sunday on Triple J.
That is Tool on Triple J with The Pot. And you can hear the real influence of Lior there.
Yeah.
I mean, I know
you can.
Tool really sat down with the Autumn Flow record and did everything they could to bring that Lior sound out. And I think they've really pulled it off there on the new Tool record, 10,000 Days. We also heard Ed Hardcourt in there with his latest single. It's almost 4 o'clock with Chris and Craig filling in for Roy and HG for the next 4 weeks. And a reminder that Ben Harper will be live at the Wireless at 5 o'clock in just over 1 hour's time as the dust settles on what many people are calling the finest World Cup ever. In Germany 2006. Congratulations to the Cheats Italy for pulling off an extraordinary victory in the final. But it wasn't without controversy, was it? The whole Zinedine Zidane headbutt incident. Craig, how did you read it?
Well, have they actually finished answering what it was said? Like, has anyone actually answered that finally? Because the last I saw, that everyone got in Europe particularly got in translators to answer this. And there was one guy who came out and said that he called him a son of a terrorist whore. Which is to the point. I mean, it got there because, of course, Zinedine Zidane's Algerian background, a lot of controversy about Algerians in France and that. And
Son of a Terrorist Whore, incidentally, is also the name of the new Colin McCulloch novel.
It's a good one.
So, I mean, it's a catchy phrase.
I think it was the relation to Colin McCulloch that really sent him off, going, no, look, I'm not a McCulloch fan.
Yeah. Some lip readers have disputed the Son of a Terrorist Whore thing. And my favourite bit was, is the Italian player denied that he could ever have said that because he didn't know what the word terrorist
That's
means.
That's right, he did. He said, I am very ignorant. I'm unaware of terrorism. Where would you have to live in the world currently to have not come around to the whole terror thing?
How badly has George W. Bush done his job of trying to instill the fear of God about terror into every single person on the planet's hearts, and this guy still hasn't heard the phrase terrorism? Now, you'd have to say the war on terror has been lost if we can find someone in a Western country, namely Italy, for whom the word terrorist doesn't even register.
It is absolutely not true. I did not call him a terrorist. I'm ignorant. I don't even know what the word means. What does he think the war on terrorism is about?
He thinks it's
to do with juggling clowns or something.
He's just bamboozled by it.
What is all this crap about?
He supports it. Like, he thinks it was wonderful to go into Iraq, but he doesn't know why we're in Iraq. But look,
wasn't there one, though, that I think the actual person that said it was the son of a terrorist whore, though, has actually been a lot of people saying he was wrong. And that's because wasn't he the one that was he was the English translator who didn't speak Italian.
Yeah, apparently the world's foremost forensic lip reader, brilliant at lip reading. Let's not mistake that. Absolutely can ascertain every single shape of the mouth and tell you what it means. Didn't speak Italian.
But would he say it in Italian? Because does Zinedine Zidane speak Italian?
I don't know.
Maybe I think possibly there's you know how they talk about English being the lingua franca. It's the language of business. It may also be the language of sledging. You know, around the world, you have to at least, you have to know a couple of words in English just to sledge. So you may not be able to speak English, but you have to be able to go, look, you're playing soccer, you better find out how to say son of a terrorist whore in English. Just in case you find yourself up against the name.
Let's face it, if someone called you the son of a terrorist whore, would that incite a headbutt? I think you'd have to go a lot stronger than that. I mean, that is soft.
I know your mother is a terrorist, is a whore, and you're a terrorist.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I say that to you every day. Morning, Chris, son of a terrorist whore.
And I know, that's you're just warming up.
It's a term of endearment.
That's just flattery. the only thing I reckon, well, I've had my own lip readers on this, what he might have said was, hey, Zinedine, get over here. You're less likely to put a ball through the goal than Viduka.
Oh!
That's how bloody useless you are. And that's the...
You're playing for Croatia more than Viduka was.
Mate, you're so soft and gay, I bet you enjoy Torvald and Dean's Dancing on Ice. Now, if someone said that to me, I would headbutt them. That's the only thing. If you've been accused of watching that lame-ass show, then you might be doing headbutts, don't you reckon?
You would. You like Daryl Summers, mate.
Oh! Oh, when will people stop ripping off Lior? I mean, another derivative track. The Living End this time. Long live the weekend. You are with Chris and Craig doing Bloody Sunday, and we're just weighing into the World Cup, the headbutt incident. Now, it is just possible that the media and everyone else has got the entire thing all wrong. The way I read it was that the French captain, Zinedine Zidane, was actually doing the Italian player a great favour.
Oh, he was.
Coming to his help, because that Italian player was having heart failure. He was having heart trouble, and he there was no defibrillator machine present on the ground. The World Cup organisers hadn't thought to provide one of those machines.
True.
So Zinedine saw that he was in trouble, offered
Dr.
his head
Zinedine,
as a big
I call him.
Boom, yeah. Clear, clear. But for Zinedine's head, that player might not be alive today.
It's funny because the story I heard, because is you know how corrupt Italian soccer is. Mm. I mean, everything. Juventus has just been put down to the second division based on all the corruption there. Is that it was a thing of corruption. You know, Zinedine's last game, right? He needed a bit of superannuation, needed a bit of money. Mm. The Italians said to him, look, if it comes into the dying moments of a game and it's even, you saw what happened against Australia. Our players will just start falling over in ridiculous manners, trying to get penalties. Mm. What we'd like you to do is actually give them a reason to fall over. We'll give you, you know, an enormous amount of lira if you do that. And that's what he did. He was basically going, Materazzi was about to fall over in what would be a ridiculous stunt, which would have brought the whole World Cup into disrepute, much like the Australia game. Mm. Zinedine said, look, I'll make it look like it's real.
Mm. He needed help taking a dive.
Exactly.
Because he was incompetent. The Italian player, like...
You've seen them against Australia. They don't know. They go, oh, look, you're within cooee of me. I'll fall over. They're very unrealistic.
And yet he didn't have the skills to do his own dive. Zinedine was just helping him do a dive by pushing him over with his head.
That's what it is, as far as I'm concerned.
That's absolutely all it was. And that's where the incident should have rested and ended. However, the only thing I thought was a bit inappropriate was that prankster from The Chaser selling out, like, headbutting dolls outside. I just thought
too far.
You've gone way too far. Yeah. Chaz Licciardello, get that joker out. On Triple J, Chris and Craig taking you through till 5 o'clock when Ben Harper takes over, playing a very special Live at the Wireless set recorded at a recent Melbourne concert. Just there we heard The Gossip with Jealous Girls and Mattis Yahoo and the title track from Youth.
I was very saddened to see, Chris, that Hooters, the American franchise restaurant, the one with the big-breasted women in tight shirts that come around as waitresses, is coming back to Australia. It was the only time that an American kind of franchise has come to Australia and failed.
Yeah, when were they last? They last had a crack, was it the early 90s or something?
It was, yeah, it might have been back then. It might have been back kind of mid-90s, I think, was when they kind of failed.
And they were promising like a Hooters revolution, like almost a Starbucks-like dominance of the family restaurant market. So instead of going to, I don't know, Pizza Hut or your Lone Star or Sizzler, they just thought it would be Hooters on every corner in Australia. And yet Australians didn't take to the large-breasted waitresses.
It did, but it's coming back, and it's, as far as I can understand from what I've seen, it's the same approach again, which is large-breasted women. They're not on roller skates. They haven't changed. They're not wrestling in mud. They haven't changed anything about it.
They haven't changed the... Is it still the same menu?
I'm not sure. I think maybe it is.
Because it has been advanced by people who understand the restaurant industry that Australian consumers had no problem with the size of the breasts on the waitresses, but the food was just a bit shit.
Oh, is that it?
Unless, like, deep-fried chicken wings in satay sauce. Like, it just wasn't the most...
It wasn't good.
It wasn't the most adventurous menu of a Saturday evening.
But that's the thing I find quite strange about it, which is the fact that it's presented as a family restaurant. Mm. And I know all the pictures they put out of it. It's like... sitting down, mum and dad, three little kids around the table, enormous-breasted woman with tight shirt kind of sticking her breast in dad's face as you order.
That says family.
Now, my family would never have gone to that place. Dad would never have gone, let's go to Hooters. Would your family have dropped it off to Hooters?
Look, I was never taken to Hooters in the brief time it was here. I know exactly the images you're talking about. It's almost like, you know, when the government does ads like Work Choices or we're introducing this new superannuation policy. There's always generic family scenes.
Yeah.
And the Hooters...
It's
imagery.
Like, it's like a margarine ad,
It's very much like that. It's the kids smiling up at these enormous norks as if it was the most ordinary, standard thing to do.
I guess it is natural, but it is not necessarily your dinner time scenario. Mm. Is there anyone... I don't know if there's something like that in Australia. Like, does anyone's parents actually gone, let's go to family dinner, darling, we're gonna go to the topless place down the road?
Mm.
For the family dinner.
It's little Sebastian's 8th birthday. We want to do something really special. We're going to have a night at Hooters, then kick on to the cross and watch some live pole dancing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly. Mud wrestling. If it's a good night, maybe mum will get in the ring too.
Hey, look who's at the RSL today. It's Jelly Wrestling Naked, the girls of Vegas. Hey, little Tommy,
let's
get your friends. We can have a sleepover. They'll
be
big
for a buffet.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
I am actually... If anybody... If you came from the kind of family where you would go to something which would generally be considered a little bit of dad's entertainment, but he would take the family along, I would be fascinated to hear. I'm dying to know whether the Hooters can survive in Australia.
Mm, whether it is a natural family match.
Yeah, maybe I just have a very prude family. That's entirely possible. Mm. But maybe it's out there. I don't know.
And what about, I've always thought, I mean, what's in it for the girls, like the daughters? I mean, I can understand a young prepubescent boy getting something out of the Hooters experience, but a girl doesn't really need to go and be brought a bad chicken wings deep-fried by a large-breasted woman.
Where's the mothers?
Where's the male equivalent? Where's dongers?
Dongers.
So these enormously appendaged...
Well, I'll have the sausage again, thank you. Why do I always want the sausage when we come to dongers?
Yeah. There's no need for the skewer sticks at dongers. The waiters just put the chicken pieces in a marinade along the donger and serve up.
Yeah, do give us a call, that 1-300-055-36. If you have ever... If you had gone to a restaurant or something like this, your male kind of entertainment with your family restaurant, like it's your family dinner out.
What kind of family experience was it for you? Give us a call, 1-300-055-36.
Should we get a dongers?
1-300-055-36. Phone now. That is Bob Evans with Don't You Think It's Time this afternoon on Triple J, where it's 25 past four. We've just found out the Hooters stores may be now open in Australia and very much marketing themselves as family-friendly.
Family restaurants. And we're just saying, look, generally we wouldn't have gone to that kind of place as a family outing. Like, who goes to a family outing where it's a bit of big-breasted fun?
Apparently Stewie's had a couple of adult nights out with his family. How are you, Stewie?
I'm well.
Now, what did your dad take you on?
Oh, it was a number of years ago. We went for a family walk up King's Cross.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. What, just to show you what a hooker was?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. What did your dad do? Was he kind of showing you around, showing you the ropes?
No, not at all. We just went for a walk, went to a restaurant, and that was it.
Oh, that's not too bad. He does have restaurant. That's not too bad. Okay, thanks very much, Stu.
Not bad. Scott, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
Not bad. Did you ever get led astray by your parents?
Nah, not too much at all, really. Mm. We went to my wife and myself and a friend went to a restaurant in a brothel.
Mm.
It was a bit of a show. It was they'd just recently done up the brothel. It was in Kalgoorlie.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd done it up, spent a couple of million or something on the brothel.
And they've got their priorities right there, don't they?
Yeah. Good business, jeez.
And they started putting on shows and restaurant show sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm not surprised. I mean, Kalgoorlie's pretty much all brothels. I know the residents won't mind me saying that. It's either mines or brothels. So even the mines have brothels in them.
Yeah.
So your restaurants have brothels. Your 7-Eleven has a brothel inside. That's just how they do things in Kalgoorlie.
But so you didn't take the kids along, though. Was it a family, you know, with the family fun there?
There were families there, yeah.
There were families there at the brothel restaurant?
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
No real young kids.
No, just the teenagers, I guess.
Yeah.
Showing them the way.
Did they offer any kind of two-for-one deal, or like for every two main course you buy, you might get a free half hour with one of the madams?
No, but there was an older, I guess, ex-employee who actually started to, show how to do fellatio properly onto people's fingers.
That's good. Often I wondered between dinner and, you know, dessert how to do that.
Mm.
That's good.
I
used to teach people on bananas, but they're too expensive
too
now.
Too expensive now. I get frustrated whenever I go out dining. There's people who come around hawking roses or, like, playing violin. And if only there were more waiters prepared to simulate fellatio in between courses.
And particularly when you get your family, the kids that, Hallie's a 14-year-old, we like to learn a head job.
Good on you, Megan. Where were you taken?
When I was 13, my sister and I were taken by my aunt from Melbourne. She flew us to Sydney to take us out front and then drive us around the streets to show us the prostitutes.
There you go.
So she got in the cab and said to the taxi driver, "We want to see the prostitutes, please." And as we drove on, she went, "Now there's one. Have a look at that."
Now, see, this is the problem, because Sydney's dropped down from being the most popular tourist destination. I think it's because it's got too many pictures of your opera house and that anything. If there was a bit more just showing the great hooker tours of Sydney, then I think people would be coming back.
Tourism Australia's got it all wrong. I agree with you, Craig, and enough for the Harbour Bridge.
Yeah.
You see those Sydney Explorer buses whenever you go to Sydney? They're empty. They're empty because they're doing circular quay to Bondi. No one's in. If you just need to go around William Street and the Cross.
Yeah. Does anybody want to see a skanky tranny? I would love to.
You'd have the Japanese swarming back to Sydney.
Megan's aunt's flown from Melbourne. I mean, it's not like they don't have prostitutes there.
No, Grey Street, St Kilda. You
can get your... But...
They did that the previous Easter.
Really easy to spot.
No, it's not... That is the most fascinating family holiday.
Did you get some nice photos, Megan?
Yeah, we did actually.
And as a young 13-year-old, did it have an effect on you? Did you kind of think after that, you know, that's not a bad business to go into?
I'm wondering if she took me because when I was about six, I remember telling my family that I wanted to be a prostitute.
Oh!
Because I didn't actually understand what you had to do. And I just knew this mythical thing of they didn't do a lot and they got a lot of money.
I believe you get to lie around a lot.
I don't think that is mythical. I mean, it's pretty much it. The only people who spend more time on their back than road workers. But did you fulfil your ambition, Megan?
No, I never did.
Oh, well, Megan, keep dreaming, hey? Surely there's a TAFE course now.
Could at least be a Hooters waitress.
Well, no, I don't think so.
Thank you very much, Megan's aunt. I like that. Now, Andrew has dined at Hooters. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
So they're up and running, are they?
Yes, in Parramatta.
And did you take the family?
I was with a couple of mates, actually.
Just couple. See, now that I expect. But were there many families dining there at the Hooters experience?
We were actually commenting on the families that were there.
Really? So there were.
Yeah. Yeah, and because they've got music going all night, like the YMCA comes on, they all do the dance.
Oh.
Well, all the girls.
Hula hoops. Hula hoops.
Good family entertainment.
So it's quite a feature of the restaurant, is that it's not a simple question of bringing out the menus and leaving. They actually perform.
They do.
So
it's not just your average restaurant.
What would you say the youngest kid was there in the family groupings?
You'd say 12.
12.
Yeah.
Coming into puberty. Perfect age to take them longer than I did.
And where was the 12-year-old's eyes mainly pointed?
The same direction that every single other male in the restaurant were.
And did the girls seem happy?
They really don't mind.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's your justification for it, Andrew. There you go. So Hooters up around, and it is the family restaurant. I think 8-year-olds. Is where you should really take them along.
I would have thought so. And did you discuss? Is there any talk of dongers being introduced as a
new franchise,
a sister franchise or brotherly franchise? We will try and talk to the people from Hooters to see if they are interested in the male equivalent
in the dongers franchise. We've got that. That's our ride.
Thanks very much.
Can we copyright that, Nicole?
See you, Andrew. It's 4:30 on Bloody Sunday. Enough about me. That is Todd Sparrow this afternoon on Triple J. We also heard the Arctic Monkeys with From the Ritz to the Rubble. Chris and Craig with you for about another 20 minutes, whereupon we hand over the reins to the King, Richard Kingsmill, presenting Ben Harper live at the Wireless.
Remember how last year we broke the story, Chris, about Leighton Hewitt and Beck Cartwright?
The sham marriage.
Yeah. And I can't believe they're continuing with the sham. We're all fair people. Mm. You can break it off. We knew it was all about, it was publicising Home and Away, wasn't it?
Cross-promotion between Channel 7 coverage of the tennis and Home and Away. And haven't they been committed to that sham?
Oh, they have been.
Even going so far as to have a sham baby.
Oh, no.
At a sham Logie ceremony.
Things they've done.
They're method shammers. I mean, some people just do their hoax and then move on, but they're so committed, De Niro style, to the hoax, the sham. That they're going to continue it right through until their sham divorce.
Oh, no, until their death. Sham death.
There'll be a funeral, but they'll still be alive. There'll be a sham.
They'll just finally be able to be single.
Yeah.
The only thing I reckon the relationship that comes closest for shamness is Jennifer Aniston and Vince Vaughn. And the reason is that the movie that they got together on, The Breakup, is the biggest load of shit, right? But have you noticed the fact that every day there's a new story about it just because of the supposed relationship that came out of it?
Oh, right.
And I think this is the big shame too. It's the whole publicity to get the movie out there.
What sort of stories are emerging?
Well, the story, the only one I found interesting was the story that apparently during the nude scenes, they had to strip off, all the crew stripped off to make Jennifer Aniston feel more comfortable.
Oh, to be simpatico.
Yeah. So that she felt more comfortable because she was a bit nervous about the nude scene. So they stripped. Wouldn't that make you feel more comfortable? You know, 100 dicks staring back at you.
I've worked with crews. They're not the most attractive nubile, alive people.
Big, they're fat cameraman craggy, getting it off Jennifer. Does this make you feel more comfortable?
Two nude bodies in the room isn't awkward enough. Let's have 80 nude, haggard, craggy American
sounds. Half of them with erections.
Hey, it wouldn't make.
Hey, do you need a boom for this? Nah, just put the mic on the end of a knob.
The end of a knob, exactly. But it don't, look, I think this should be practiced in other things.
I think
it should go further. For instance, like when you're shooting Dancing with the Stars, wouldn't Daryl Summers feel more comfortable if the crew had a lobotomy as well? So he felt more. He just going. Everyone else is brain dead. Mm. I feel I'm at home now.
So they're all matched up.
Exactly. Everyone has to stand on a little cross and say moronic lines
and stumble on those moronic lines. Mm. I agree. I think Channel 9's Today Show could benefit if all the crew giggled inanely.
Well they should
with Jessica Rowe.
Exactly.
Every time she giggled.
Joints all round.
Yeah.
Everyone gets up. Well, we're going to be on air at 6. If I have the joint at 5:30, I'll probably get the giggles about the same time that Jessica hits the.
I don't know if you've noticed on the set of The Chasers War and everything, but the crew all mumbles to make you feel more comfortable on set.
And is that why in every break they start making strange literary references and talking about Canadian supergroups? Just to make you feel more
on Triple J. Going back a few years now, Massive Attack with Karma Coma. We also heard new stuff from Belle and Sebastian. That one was called The Blues Are Still Blue. Chris and Craig doing Bloody Sunday. Now, earlier on in the program, we invited Damien to enter the great banana eBay experiment. Such is the demand.
E-banana.
Such is the demand and the rising cost of bananas in this country. We just wanted to get an idea, a flavour of what a banana could actually go for if you put one on eBay. Damien rejoins us now. How have you gone?
Yeah, good, mate. Had a bit of chasing around to find one, though.
What,
took me about five stores to find one.
So what, Werribee didn't have any bananas?
No, I had to go to the plaza in Hoppers Crossing to find a banana. So,
jeez, typical, isn't it? Hoppers Crossing, yep. they've got the quarter of the market on the bananas.
What are Hoppers Crossing charging for a banana?
Well, they kindly donated the banana, so that was very good. but they're doing $12.99 a kilo, so...
Jeez.
They're not too bad. Looking around at the other prices, they're a bit more than that.
That's good. So the banana's been donated. I like that, the fact that Damien's called up. He couldn't even afford the first banana. Mm. He's like a startup company, couldn't get going. So we'll put it on eBay for a week.
Mm.
We'll find out next week how much it's gone for. And I guess, can we give the money to somewhere, a good cause, can we, Damien?
That's right. I've put on the listing that all the money that's raised by this will be donated to SIDS.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's good.
Wouldn't it be good if the new emblem for SIDS, instead of the red nose, was a yellow banana? So for one day of the year, everyone just wore a giant yellow banana.
Well, exactly. You never know. That might happen after this.
We might change it around. Now, Damien, if people want to get a bid on, is the banana currently on eBay?
The banana just hit it just then.
And what's the starting price?
Well, we're starting at $1.
Right. So, it's a bargain. Get in early.
Everyone can get in there and have a go at it.
Good on you, Damien.
That's tremendous news. So if you want to get on board the banana auction, courtesy of Damien, all money raised going to SIDS, head towards that online auction site whose name we probably shouldn't mention given we're on the ABC. But get bidding.
Thanks, Damien.
How much for a banana in the modern age of Australia? That is the Sneaker Trio with I Could Be Anything. This afternoon on Triple J, and the banana's already gone berserk.
It's up to $112.50. Now, make sure it's a legitimate bid because the money's going to go to SIDS, but Damien's gone berserk too. I've just seen the site. It's got pictures of him. Mm. It's called the famous Triple J banana.
Move aside Coffs Harbour with their fiberglass big banana. This is the new big banana.
People say, what do you mean? What's
Australia's gone absolutely nuts for it. Go to eBay if you want to get a bid on for...
Make sure it's a real bid.
Absolutely. And join us again next Sunday afternoon when we do a Bloody Sunday. Up next, Richard Kingsmill presents Ben Harper.
Thanks,
live
guys.
Live at the Wireless.
Yeah.
See ya.